And we would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church, located at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. Our radio this morning is sponsored by Kathy Smallwood in honor of Mark and Alex Murphy's birthday. We have a few radio announcements this morning. So, we love serving our community here at Trinity United Methodist by serving a meal once a month to whoever may need it or just doesn't feel like cooking that night. The next one is going to be on May 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. Please join us for some good food and fellowship. Also, please join Jesse and Jeremy Helton on May 27th at 6 p.m. at Geyser Park for praise at the park. A special guest speaker will be Jess Moss. This is a great worship event for our community. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be very appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. This morning, our scripture reading will be Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, and our sermon will be entitled The Fellowship of Believers by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
And now we have the blessing of listening to our amazing choir sing, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Thank you.
It is well with my soul, because no matter what, God is in control.
And now we will have our scripture reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. The fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Four important principles in that reading. Number one, that they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. For the apostles had seen and heard everything of Jesus. They were the living testament. And they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. Number two, they devoted themselves to fellowship. And that fellowship included taking care of the communal needs of the poor. And number three, they broke bread together. Both communion, as Jesus had taught them in the Last Supper, and shared meals together. For there's nothing that draws a people closer together than to break bread together and have a shared meal together. And number four, the part that I really love, they devoted themselves to prayers, both prayers at the temple and prayers in one another's house, private prayers, collective prayers, all kinds of prayers. But their prayers were so intense because they had witnessed all that Jesus did, and they believed. They were still set on fire from the Holy Spirit, and they had seen what Christ himself could do. So they had prayers that brought great results. Wouldn't it be awesome if we as a church could go back to believing in those prayers, to go back to believing just how important church is? Our response today is a song called Church, or Take Me Back to the Church. And it reads like this. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people that I can depend upon, to the faith that is in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they have seen me at my worst, to the love that I had at first. Oh, I want to go to church. I tried to walk on my own, but I wound up lost, and now I'm making my way to the foot of the cross. It is not a trophy for the winners. It is a shelter for the sinners, and it is right where I belong. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people that I can depend upon, to the faith that is in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they have seen me at my worst, to the love that I had at first. Oh, I want to go to church. Here is the key to this song. Oh, it is more than an obligation. It is our foundation, the family of God. I know that it is hard, but we need each other. We are sisters and brothers. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could come to be that church for the rest of the world? Sometimes God leaves things hanging like a show to be continued. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, the God of all. Sometimes when you don't have a TV guide, you have to plan your television viewing by the commercials. And sometimes the networks don't always let you know that this is a two-part mini-series that's going to be continued tomorrow. The most dreaded words in the English language, to be continued. What? You thought that it was all going to be wrapped up today, that it was going to be resolved, that you were going to have all the answers by the end of this show. Isn't that kind of like life? Life doesn't end neatly in a nice little package at the end of each day. We go from one thing to another, and God Himself leaves things hanging. Things that cannot be resolved easily in one day. Right now, all of us in this church are involved in God's continuing story of salvation. Salvation's history for the world. Stay tuned for previews of what God will do next, just when we thought that God may have come to the end of the world. There is a volcano, an active volcano in the state of Washington where I grew up. It is named Mount St. Helens, and it had been dormant since 1857, but in early 1980 it started waking up. It started rumbling, and we all knew. It was all over the news. Something's happening with Mount St. Helens. And then on May 16th, 1980, the whole top of the mountain blew off. I mean, it blew 12 miles up into the sky, and a cloud of ash and gases were left in its wake, and at least 60 people were killed. All of life in some 70 square miles ceased, and the entire area was covered with ash and debris. The mountain's elevation lowered from 9,677 feet to 8,364 feet. There was a fire that had been laying dormant in the earth, and people forgot about its presence. Forgetting about that presence of that fire, that molten lava, doesn't cease it to exist. It just means that we're not thinking about it. Living and forgetting about the presence of God in the middle of our world does not mean that God is not there, underneath all that is happening, directing salvation's history according to the Lord's own purposes. I guess we could say that sin can make us forget, just like that crust over Mount St. Helens could make us forget the molten lava that was buried deep within her. Sin can make us forget that that same fire lives deep within each and every one of us. You know, that series of commercials where people show the same man walking all over the country, and sometimes he's dodging swings, and sometimes a drawbridge comes up, and it's in his way. And once, he's even taking a picture of a poisonous snake so that he can call somebody and ask whether or not it's poison. Every few steps that he takes, you can hear, "Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?" Well, one of the most subtle of those commercials, you see a chimpanzee, and he's got a banana up to his ear, and he grunts in that high-pitched chimp grunt. And then the next thing you see is him walking a couple more steps and grunting as he goes. Each step he takes, he grunts. And then he looks over to the rest of the chimps and he goes like this. And they all nod their head as if they're satisfied. And the camera zooms back and you can see the cage at the zoo of the chimpanzees. And then you see the telephone man walking by and he says, "You guessed it, can you hear me now?" And all the chimps are nodding satisfied that they can hear him now. Silly commercial. The chimps know the moves that people make by talking on the telephone, but they themselves cannot talk. So they imitate what people do. They have the imitation, but not the knowledge. People who study such things say they have seen chimps and apes get together to make a fire. They put limbs down. Then they put down twigs and they build it all up like they're getting ready to make a fire, for they're imitating what they have seen man do. But they don't know how to light the fire. They can study the moves, how to make them, but they don't have all that it takes. The same thing can happen in our lives, both our individual lives and the lives of the church. Human monkey business lacks the spark that only God can provide. The account of the first Pentecost of the Acts of the Apostles tells us that they were gathered together in one place. But they weren't plotting or planning to form a new church. Church itself, ecclesia, was not even a word. They did not know what they were doing. They were just walking around wondering, what's next? They might as well have been a bunch of chimpanzees until something happened that changed everything. The next ingredient was poured forth on them, and that was the Holy Spirit. The next thing you know, those miserable, unhappy, dejected people became dynamic preachers and leaders, never again to worry about what the world thought of them. Would that not be awesome? For us to so live within the fire of the Holy Spirit that we do not worry about what the world thinks of us, that we just choose to live together as the body, as the family of God, as the ecclesia, as the church. Would that not be amazing? Take me back to a preacher and a verse. Take me back to where the people have seen me at my worst, but they love me. They know me. They know me inside and out. They know me at my worst. They know me at my best. But yet they do not reject me. They continue to love me for who I am. That is the church. The presence of God enters as the Holy Spirit, and what looks like tongues of fire hover over their heads. The next thing you know, they have been transformed. The reading from Acts puts us into the early church for the days after its birth, after the first Pentecost. It is a summary of statement on how the church will be lived in the days between the beginning and the awakening of the synagogue to the perceived threat of Christendom, making a note of the experiment in communism, which was a communal living. We are not a welfare state. A welfare state does not work well. If the church herself had been doing the job that she should have been doing all along, feeding the widows, taking care of the orphans, teaching people how to take care of themselves, we would not need welfare. We would not need food stamps. We would not need Medicaid. For if we as a church, from the very beginning, had been doing our job, these things would not be needed. And now, as they have become such a dependency, we cannot remove them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. This happened day by day. Daily, they intertwined their lives with the study of the gospel, with the friendly interchange, sharing their concerns and troubles and caring for one another. They took the Lord's Supper seriously. They took sharing all they had with one another seriously. They took eating together in one another's houses and worshiping together seriously. And therefore, the kind of prayer that they offered up got great results. I suppose most of us think of the church as something that we just do on Sunday. We come, we gather together, we worship, we sing a few songs, we listen to a prayer or two, and then that's it until the next Sunday. But are we really intertwined? Look around you now. How many of these people will you talk to or will you see through this week? Will you meet with them for Bible study? Will you be talking with them? Will you be texting with them? Will they be a part of your life throughout the week? Because that's the church, beloved. That we should be a part of each other's lives throughout the week. We should be a part of each other's lives as we grow together in our love of God. Abraham Lincoln appreciated humor in his life. It was a way of alleviating the burdens of life and eventually the weight and the strain and the struggle and the tragedy of the Civil War. He was also known as a man of prayer. He attended church regularly. Though he was not a member, he was once known to have said, "I have been driven to my knees many times by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. Take me back. Take me back to the church, because it's more than an obligation. It is our foundation. It is the family of God. I know it's hard. It is hard sometimes to live with one another, to see people at their worst, to overlook that worst in one another, and to come to truly, truly love and regard and respect each other. Take me back. Take me back to the church. Pentecost recalls a time where the Holy Spirit changed our lives and changed the lives of the church. Things got done. Prayers got answered. It would be good to remember and to feel good about those times when the Spirit moved and people changed and people went with the Spirit. Maybe it's time that we do that again. That we again fall on our knees before the Holy Spirit and ask for His blessings, and ask Him to teach us how to live with one another, how to share the message of Jesus Christ with the world. Because I don't have an ending for the sermon. To be continued, because the Spirit moves in and upon us and with us and is continually changing our lives. He continues to take us back here every week. And I know this church to be a church of prayer. I know this church to be a fellowship of believers, not ones that just come in, sit down quietly by yourself, don't know your neighbors, don't know the people around you. I know this church to be a true fellowship of believers that holds each other up when emergency strikes, that holds each other up when prayer is a necessity, that holds each other up even when we are good, bad, different, or ugly. You know, I know that there are times where I do not always appear at my best. And yet, at those times, I have had people in this church walk up to me and show me the greatest love I have ever felt in my entire life. And I have watched it among you, among each other. This is the ecclesia. This is the church. This is the Holy Spirit falling upon all of us and teaching us how to live with one another.
Verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love.